Well, I want you to ask you a question. Let's start with this. What is more important? What will cause you to be more successful? Is it EQ or IQ? Yeah, EQ. Someone yelled it, right? Does everybody know what EQ is? It's emotionally intelligent. And by the way, it's hands down, no doubt, if it's a choice of EQ or IQ, people with high EQ always outperform people with high IQ if they don't have high EQ. Does that make sense? So if it's EQ or IQ, then you want to have that. Do you want to have that be you? Now, what I want you to know is this. The vast majority of people actually have a low EQ. And we're actually watching something pretty scary happen. You need to know this. Right now, we're finding that empathy, the ability to empathize, is down 40% in our population. And, are you ready for this? Narcissism's up 30%. So you know what? We're a very self-absorbed culture that's going the wrong direction. And when we talk about the idea of people having this life where you flourish and thrive, that is never going to happen if we don't raise the EQ level. And you need to know this isn't an issue just for you and I. It's an issue especially in our children and in our teenagers. Because what we're watching right now is they have the highest rate of something I'll be talking to you about in a minute. It's called languishing. It's a real problem that people are experiencing. But what I want you to think about is this. If you don't have a good EQ, you're in trouble. Here's the good news. As we go through these eight emotions, and you start studying with me and looking what God has to say and applying it to your life, your EQ is going to go up. So if you have a high EQ now, it's going higher. If you don't even know what EQ is, you're about to discover the joy of it. It's going to go there. And so we're going to be doing that together. And so when we talk about these big eight emotions, we want to talk about how we can actually have that EQ that makes the difference. And so we're going to dive into the first of the eight emotions. But let me give you the big idea. What's the big idea? But that's underneath this one. Are you ready? These emotions actually will be more pronounced, more intense, more incredibly exciting in your life if you realize you're not the center of the universe. And if you realize there's something bigger than you. By the way, Dr. George Valiant from Harvard University, that's what he said, that these emotions only function well when we're connected to something bigger than us and we realize we're not the center of the universe, which is a very biblical thing to understand. And so God wants you and I to know that. So as we get ready to talk about what's the first one, I'm hoping you're actually going to feel it in a moment. Because we're talking about emotion, so I want you to be able to feel it. There's a woman that some of you are going to know who she is right away. Her name is Monami Ito. When she was younger, she began to play the violin. She became considered a prodigy on the violin. It was the passion of her life until she was in a car accident where she was severely, severely injured. It was catastrophic. And because of her physical injuries and the trauma of the accident, she ended up being in social isolation for over a year. Most of it was self-imposed. Her mother kept begging her, you've got to get out. Her mom begged her, you've got to start playing the violin again. And finally, her mother's encouragement and love broke through, and she began to play again, and then began to play again publicly. She's now called the miracle violinist. And I want you to see, right after the Super Bowl, when she performed, what happened.
Thank you.
emotion I was hoping you'd feel. Pam and I sat together watching that, and all of a sudden, I found myself in tears. I looked over, and she's crying, because there was an emotion to watching that I'm hoping you experienced. If you didn't, it's okay. But it was called something called awe. The first of the big emotions is awe. It's where it's something beyond you that is awesome and incredible and amazing. And God wants you to experience that. God wants you to have that. But I want you to know something. Today, so many people don't have that. I want to talk to you about where our culture is right now. And I want to have you really lean in and listen. On a mental health scale, a continuum of mental health, if I were here and the goal is to get you here, what would happen as we begin to measure that in your life or even in our society? And so over on the far end is somebody who has a mental health disorder. Now, if that's you, by the way, if you have a mental health problem, a mental health disorder, that you're still valuable. I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel embarrassed. I just want you to know that if you have a diagnosed mental health problem, there's help for you. And it's just like if you had a physical diagnosis. You know what? We would all agree you're still valuable. But a significant number of people have a diagnosed mental health problem. Then, way over here on the other side is something called flourishing. And when you flourish, what happens is you find yourself thriving and having vitality in a life that is just so exciting, you can't believe it. But I'm going to go back over here. So right here, there's a percentage of our population that actually has a diagnosable mental health issue. Then next to this group is a bigger part of our population. And get ready for this, it's people who are languishing. People who are languishing, and you're on the border that if you don't turn this around, if you don't do something about it, that you will enter into having a diagnosed problem. But a huge percentage of people are in this area, and we need to understand that's something we want to get away from, and we want to move you off of and begin to show you something incredible. Dr. Sylvia Fried said this. She said, this is the first generation. Now listen. This is the first generation of children and teens growing up in the shadow of mental illness and languishing. Mental illness is on the rise. Depression, anxiety, many other issues. And you know what? Languishing is growing, especially amongst our young. Especially amongst our young. And God doesn't want that to be the case. So what is the definition of languishing? What's that definition? Look at this with me. The definition is to become feeble or weak, to lose vigor or vitality, to suffer from decreasing vitality, to not make progress, to droop like a plant that has not been watered, to dry up. You know, God wants anything but that for you. God has way better plan for you. And so what we see in Psalm 92, verse 12, it says this, but the godly will flourish. When you're living the life God wants you to in connection with him and others, the godly will flourish like a palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. And notice this, they flourish. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. Now, I have this in New Living Translation, but let me tell you what it says. In the New American, it says, they will be full of sap. Do you want to be full of sap? You know what that means? It means you're oozing with life. God wants you full of sap. He wants you oozing with life. He wants you walking around growing in strength and vitality and love and joy and all these things. He doesn't want you to languish. And so many people are. 66% of the people in the United States right now are very unhappy. And you know what? Why? Because they're languishing. And God's going, I don't want that to be the case for you. And the good news is when we talk about these big eight emotions, there's no reason for you to live that way. But remember what we came back to. It all starts by you knowing you're not the center of the universe. You have to know that. You're not the center of the universe. So we look at the universe, you're not the center of it. Let me show you how true that is. Here's where you are. You're right there. You're not even in the center. Would you agree? And you know, we've got to realize something. God's created us and put us where we are because he wants you not to languish and experience life. He wants you to not be self-absorbed and lack being self-aware. And he wants you to experience something amazing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, we find out the early church had something true of them. This is the early church in its earliest stages doing everything God wanted. And notice what it said, everyone. Don't miss that word, everyone. Not a few, not most. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. They were in perpetual state of awe. They were in a perpetual state of awe. And you know what? Let me say what I'm trying to tell you. When you're in connection with God and you have a relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit in you, and you're a vital part of a church family, which that would be true of every one of them, then you can live in a perpetual state of awe. And the last thing that will be true of you is languishing. That's not even going to happen. But many people aren't able to be in a perpetual state of awe. It's like they stand in front of something amazing and grand, and they can't see it. Kind of like Chevy Chase in the movie Vacation when he brought his family to the Grand Canyon. Watch this.
Okay, let's go. Come on. Where's Edna?
She's in the car.
Good. Come on, kids. Get your butts in the car. Go.
Don't you want to look at the Grand Canyon?
Yeah. Great.
You ever been around someone like that? It's the Grand Canyon. And all they can do is take a selfie. In other words, they get a picture this big when there's something so big you can't even get it in a picture. And God wants you to live your life in awe. God wants you to experience something great. So let's talk about how can we actually experience this amazing emotion? How can we live in a perpetual state of awe? And it starts with number one. Number one, what we need to do is recognize that God is the center of the universe. Recognize that God is the center of the universe. And so that's where we begin. And we begin to experience awe because of that. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 says this, "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great and mighty and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe." When we realize that God is God, and God is an awesome God, and God is the center of the universe and bigger than us, and we can be in connection with something that much bigger than us, then awe becomes a part of our life perpetually, perpetually. Psalm 47 verse 2 says this, "For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great king of all the earth." And so all of us who are in connection with God, we realize that God is awesome and God is incredible and God is bigger than anything we could think or know. He's beyond our comprehension. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Now, here's what I want you to think about. God's understanding is unsearchable. God is so far beyond us. He's beyond our comprehension. But God has said, "I want you to know me." And he's created you with the ability to be in connection with him. So while you'll never understand him completely, you can know he's an awesome God who loves you. Now, what does that mean? That means it starts by us understanding something. God is omniscient. God is omniscient. Now, what does the word omniscient mean? He's all-knowing. And God is so awesome. He is all-knowing and knows everything. But I want you to think about this. You know that you're not all-knowing, right? I know I'm not all-knowing. I mean, if you and I have to use Google to find out information, how all-knowing are we? Any of you guys like me, hey, Alexa, and you want to find out some information? And you know what? Alexa's not even all-knowing. Alexa messes up sometimes.
About to reheat pasta?
Reheating pasta. It's cool, right?
Yeah, I didn't know you guys put Alexa in a microwave.
Yeah, we're putting her in a lot of stuff now. But trust me, there are a lot of fails.
Like what?
Like...
Alexa, play my podcast.
When you heard that, did that surprise you? Bart seems exciting.
We made an Alexa dog collar. Four dogs.
Ordering dog food. Ordering dog food.
You can bark all you want. I'm not paying for any more dog food.
Ordering gravy. Ordering sausages.
Hey, you better cancel that order.
Alexa hot tub? A sucked.
Alexa, play music.
Okay.
Alexa,
And then there was the incident.
Wait, that was you guys?
I don't know, was it?
Powering up, powering down.
She says she's doing it, but I don't see anything.
Do you? Holy.
Don't stop me now.
I'm not talking to you.
Cause I'm having a good time.
I don't know about that. That's my favorite Super Bowl commercial. But you know, the whole idea I want to get across is this is God is truly all-knowing. And when you realize that God knows everything, and by the way, he could not be more on your side, we should stand in awe of God. And that creates an ability for us to have that perpetual state of awe. Something else you need to know is God is all-powerful. We use the word omnipotent. And so God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. There's nothing God can't do. And when you and I realize that, we should stand in awe of God, or maybe kneel in awe of God. And then the other thing is this, is God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. And he's always present. He's always present. It's so intriguing for me to know that the name of God and the name he wants you to know him as is I am that I am. I am the ever-present one. By the way, how many of us are not ever-present? You know you're not ever-present when you're sitting next to somebody so into your smartphone or tablet, you forgot they were even there, right? Aren't you glad that God doesn't get distracted from you? You know, you've prayed a prayer and God said, oh, I'm sorry, I was playing that game. He's ever present. And God wants you to know his love, and God wants you to know his care. And when you and I begin to understand that, then we can live in a perpetual state of awe. So it starts by knowing that God is the center of the universe. Now we need to know, number two, that God is the creator of the universe. God is the creator of the universe. And when you know that, then hopefully that causes you to be in awe of God. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 says this, Lord, you are, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills all the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. And it says, when I look at the night sky, think about that. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are people that you should think about them? Mere mortals that you should care about them. God says, you know what? I love you and care about you. But we go, God, how could you? When we realize how big you are, how vast you are, how incredible you are. And so it all begins by saying, you know what? When I look into space and I see how immense space is and how big the universe is, guess what? I'm amazed at who God is. So when I look at the vastness of the universe, I sit in awe. This is a picture taken by the Hubble telescope. And I don't know about you, but when I looked at that, I was like, I know who made that. God, and he loves you, and he loves me, and I look at that. How about when you look at the mountains? I've never, ever gone and looked at the mountains and not sensed God, because I know God created those mountains. Or how about the redwood trees? We go to the redwoods, and we stand, and we feel so small next to a redwood tree, and God made that redwood tree. And then maybe the pinnacle moment of all is this, a newborn baby. When you look at a baby and it's newborn, I don't know about you, I feel a sense of awe. The first moment that my son Rich was born, he was not even minutes old. They had me come in and hold him. And when I held him in my arms, I felt awe at that little life that God had created and knit together. Psalm 139 says, the Lord God knit him together. Then I felt another feeling. You know what it was? I felt terror. I felt fear. Now that awe is where you feel both wonder and fear at the same time. Why was I afraid? Because I held this little life that was dependent on me. How many other dads felt that feeling of fear when your kids were born? Okay, yeah, because you got to take care of them, right? I mean, I guess I held him and said, Lord, don't let me mess him up. And I just love watching what God did. And the pinnacle of creation, believe it or not, is you. God, that's what God says. And he wants you to be in awe of who he is and what he did. And then you begin to think about the fact he put air in your lungs and a heart that beats. And he gave you 100 billion neurons. He gave you 100 billion neurons in your brain to make you, you. And then when those 100 billion neurons start working in that child so that child can speak and talk, man, I'm in awe of God. I'm in awe of a God who created all of this and more. And so you and I need to understand that, because we wonder sometimes, God, why would you think I'm so great? Why, God, would you love me so much? You know what I think about is you and I are but a puff of smoke, or we flame out very, very quickly. And bam, it's just gone. Our lives go that quickly. Our lives go that fast. So the Bible says you and I are but a puff of smoke. And so when you begin to realize that and think about what that's like, think about smoke. It just comes and it goes quickly and it's gone. And God says, but I love you more than you know, because I'm that ever-present one. Even though your life in the span of all of creation and eternity is so small and short, unless you give your life to me, I want to care for you and love you. And God wants us to experience that. And so we become in awe of God when we think about that and who he is and how much he loves us. And then we become in awe of God. Why? When we recognize that God is active in our world today. We recognize that God is active in our world today. By the way, if you're brand new, I know this might sound a little strange, but we're living in the last days. The Bible predicts an end of time. It predicts when time's going to end, and it gives us signs about that and tells us what's going to occur. The most important place to watch in all the earth to understand what's coming next as far as the end of the world and all the signs that will be fulfilled is the land of Israel. And in Hosea chapter 3, there's this incredible prophecy. This is talking about the last stage. You'll see it in a minute. But here's what God begins to tell us. It says, this shows that Israel will go a long time. Israel, the nation of Israel, will go a long time without a king or a prince and without sacrifices, sacred pillars, priests, or even idols. In other words, he said, you know what? There's going to be a long period of time the nation of Israel is not going to exist. And there'll be no temple. In 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. Jesus predicted it. The Bible predicted it. The temple was destroyed. The people were exiled from the land of Israel. And for a long time, they had no leader. For a long time, they had no country. For a long time, they had no temple. Then in 1948, they were declared a nation again. That's one of the great signs that shows we're in the last days. Then the next major sign that shows we're in the last days and that God is active in our world today was in June of 1967 when they took possession of Temple Mount and the city of Jerusalem. And so the next verse says this, but afterward, after they go a long time not being a nation, the people will return to the land of Israel. Then, this has not happened yet, devote themselves to the Lord their God and to David's descendants, the king. That's a reference to Jesus. Jesus was a descendant of David, and he would take and be the king. It says, in the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. See, all of us who really love God, I think that's all of us, whenever we start talking about prophecy, especially last days prophecy, I think we're in awe. When we start seeing it be fulfilled, when it starts happening right before our eyes. So Israel being a nation again. By the way, the idea that they're going to rebuild the third temple. And are you ready for this? If you get to travel to Israel with us, you're going to get to go to a place called the Temple Institute, and you will see all of the most important parts of the temple have already been made. And you'll look at them. And they're declaring they're going to build that temple in this generation. Now, you might ask, that didn't seem possible. But see, this prophecy says that one of the next things is the people of Israel's eyes will be open to who Jesus is, and that will create a motion towards God of awe, but it'll also create a force that can't be stopped, and they're going to rebuild the temple. And that's in our days. Now, there are other things happening. The Bible tells us we need to watch for an impending global epidemic, pandemic, where the vast majority of the world will be affected by it, and 25% of our population will die. And you know what? Some of you are going, wait a minute, those are the things I don't like to hear. Because I talk to Christians all the time who say, you know what? I gotta be honest. Whenever you start talking last day's prophecy, it scares me. By the way, let me say that's good. That's called awe. It creates fear but wonder. By the way, there's this TV show on right now. I don't know if you like it. It's called The Passage. Anybody watch The Passage? And it's about you do too. Yeah, it's a good show, huh? And it's about an impending global pandemic. And why is that show even on? Why was it even written? Because the CDC and the World Health Organization are now saying what the Bible has always said, that we're going to have something like that occur. And by the way, the CDC says they see a particular strain of the flu that could actually kill 25% of the world. And the question isn't if it's going to happen, it's when. Now, when I study that, you know what I do? I get in awe of a God who's active in our world today. Does anybody else? I get in awe of that. And I'm like, you know, and are there times I'm all like almost gasping going, do you know what's coming? That God is active in the world. But you ready for this? God's not just active in the world scene. I get in awe of the fact that God is active in our individual lives. If we connect to him, and you let him guide you and share with you and show you things and let him pour his blessings on you, you will be in awe of a God who's active in our world today and active in your very life. And God wants you to experience that. And number four, God is with me in my mess. Why am I in awe of God? Because God is with me in my mess. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that even though I'm a puff of smoke, even though I'm so small that you probably at times couldn't even notice me. By the way, let me tell you something. I don't know if any of you saw it. Dangling right here in the center of the room is a washer on a fishing line. Anybody notice that? Oh, you did? Okay, that ruined my illustration. I didn't want you. You weren't supposed to know. Okay, no matter what. But God knows you. God sees you. God loves you. But if you really get to know God, you begin to realize something. Back in that verse in Hosea, do you know what it said? Let's go back to that verse in Hosea. It says that we will be in awe of the Lord and his what? Goodness. John Calvin said something so interesting. John Calvin said, I cannot know myself unless I know God. But I cannot know God and not come to know myself. And you know what he was talking about? To know that I sin. To know that I lie. To know that I cheat. To know that I steal. To know that my thoughts are thoughts that God knows I have and they're not good. I mean, think about this. If your kids knew some of the thoughts you had towards them, that would freak them out. By the way, if you knew the thoughts they had towards you. And when I began to understand that God, though, you know what God does? He is so good. He loves me more than I could possibly know. And he sees the mess I am and the mess I've been and the mess I'm going to be. And you know what? He never stops loving me. And he never stops loving you. And the most awesome moment I can ever think of was the day I realized in my heart, not just in my head, but in my heart, that Jesus was real and that Jesus died on the cross because of my mess and because of what I had done. And I experienced awe by being in the very presence of the one who loved me most. Now, I want to tell you, I don't know how you were, but I was convicted, not condemned, convicted. And saying to the Lord, I want your forgiveness. I want your love. I want the life you have for me. And I was in awe of God. And for me, maybe because I'm a little more hard-headed than most of you, God had to do something pretty big. God had to get my attention in a very tangible way where I experienced his presence in a way that I knew there was something bigger than me. And I had to open my mind all of a sudden to the fact he's real, he's here. I've got to do something about it. I was in a little tiny Baptist church down on Main Street called First Baptist Church right here in Corona. And I stood in a pew, and the pastor gave the invitation. I share this in Next Step, but it's true. And all of a sudden, he gave the invitation. I had been in that church a few times with my grandmother. That was my grandmother's church. But what happened is I'd never seen anybody go forward. So when the pastor gave the invitation, I just stood there. And all of a sudden, I felt these two big hands grab my shoulders. Now, when I say I felt it, I felt it. I felt like almost the indent. And I turned to look, and there was nobody behind me. Do you think I was in awe? Then it got scary. It got scary. You know why? Because those big hands started pushing me out into the aisle. And I really did. I grabbed the pew to hold on. I did not want to go out there. I'm not going out there. But they were too strong. And I end up in the center of the aisle like that. And I'm looking. And I'll never forget looking over. And my dad looked at me like, what are you doing? My dad wasn't a Christian. And then I started going forward. And the pastor looked at me like, what are you doing? Because nobody ever came forward. And I want to say it was terrifying. And yet it was wonder. It was awesome. It was incredible. And I went down there and some of the nicest men ever rallied around me to tell me how I could come to know Jesus. And everything in my life changed. I realized how small I was, but ready for this? I realized how loved I was. Everything in life changed. And you know what? I want you to experience every day, perpetually, a God who's that big and yet loves you that much. Because you can then begin to experience awe. You can walk out and look at the mountains with the snow on them and say, I know who made that, and experience awe. You can stop and look at a flower, believe it or not, a flower of all things, and be in awe that God created that flower. You can stand and look at people around you. You can sense his presence as you're in your Bible, or as you're walking through life, or as you prayed that prayer and all of a sudden it starts being answered and right in front of your eyes, and you experience awe. And God wants you and I to live with him and be connected to him. But when that happens, because God is an awesome God, awe becomes a feeling you know. And you know what happens when you start experiencing awe? The other of the big eight start flowing and being more pronounced in your life. But it does begin, are you ready? It begins with awe. It begins by saying yes to God. It begins by realizing who he is and how much he loves you. That's where it all begins. And so if you know God, I'm going to ask you this week to just start saying, God, reveal yourself more to me and let me be more in tune with how awesome you are and how much you love me, and experience him here this week. If you have never met God, then tonight's the night for you to do what I did, where you open up your heart to the Lord, you commit your life to Jesus, you actually pray a prayer and say, I want to give my life to you. And then you step out and you walk that aisle and experience God. You know, a lot of people, when we say, all right, here's how you come to know the Lord, you pray this prayer. And to me, I want you to say, that matters. But then we say, you got to make it known. And after you pray a prayer where you say yes to God, either the first time or you recommit your life, or you ask for him to heal you or to do something, to meet you where you are, you pray that prayer. Then after you do it, we tell you the next step is this. You got to take a step. And we're all going to ask everybody here to stand and sing. And if you pray the prayer, you got to make your way to the aisle or to the stairs, walk down one of these aisles and let us greet you. Then we're going to ask you to head in this room called the living room. And in there, we're going to give you a Bible and share some next steps. But what I'm trying to say to you is this, that praying the prayer, I know you could do that. But making that walk, man, that's something happens. And one of the reasons we want you to do it is because of the awesome feeling that God wants you to experience. So if you're here right now and you're not close to God, maybe you've never committed your life to him, maybe you're far from God and you want to come back and God would love to have you back. Maybe again, there's just something going on in your life and you know it and God is saying to you, this is your time, this is your moment. I'm going to ask you right now to pray that prayer with me, to whisper those words. And then, right after we pray the prayer, I'm going to ask everyone to stand and sing. If you pray the prayer, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the aisle and come. You can grab someone's hand and say, come with me, but you will not be walking alone no matter what. You will be walking with God. Let's pray right now. And everybody who loves God, pray for people to say yes to him. Father, I praise you for your love that is so awesome. I praise you, God, for your goodness. And in your goodness, there's mercy. In your goodness, there's grace. And there's goodness. You invite us to come live life with you and to experience transformation and forgiveness and cleansing and healing. And so I pray right now, Lord, for anyone who needs to say yes to you, anyone who needs to know you and your love, I pray right now they would. Father, I pray right now they're going to be able to feel your presence. And they'll be in awe. I pray no distraction. I pray they can sense you. Right now, God loves you. He loves you. But some of you, I really believe some of you need to say yes to him. You need to pray the prayer and commit your life to him. And then you need to make that walk. Right now, I'm going to ask you, would you pray the prayer with me? Would you start by praying that prayer with me? And if you would, pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus. Just actually whisper, Lord Jesus. I know you love me. And I know you died on the cross for me and for my sin. And I know you did this because you want to cleanse me completely from all sin and all guilt and all shame. I know you did this so that I could be healed from hurt and pain. And I know you did this so I could be free from anything that would hold me down or hold me back. And then say this, I know you want me to be yours. And I know you want me to be alive. And I know you want me to be brand new. So I say yes. Those are the only words you can say. Say them. I say yes. I say yes to you. And I say yes to the life you have for me. So take me now and make me yours. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen if you prayed that prayer. Amen if you prayed that prayer. And if you prayed that prayer, praise God. But I'm going to ask you to do it. There's something awesome about making that walk with God. So if you prayed the prayer, when we stand, make your way and come. If you wished you prayed it, come. If you've never been baptized by your choice, come now. We'll set a time for you to do that. Let's stand. If God's calling you right now, come.
Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. That my faith could be made strong in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me
service, we have people who will be standing up here that would love to pray with you if you need prayer. But as you go this week, I'm going to ask you to do this. Really try to open up and ask God to show you things that'll make you experience awe and experience life the way he wants you to. May you go in awe of God. May you go in love with the life he has for you. And may you go knowing you could not be loved more than you are right now by God. God bless you and have a great night.